Hello, everybody, and welcome back to SoulSpeak. I'm your host, Sheldon Pisnat, and in this session, we're going to be talking with Karen Kulenovich, and she's going to be sharing how to have success while being an empath or sensitive, and transforming your energy and stepping into your power as an empath. Karen is an empath coach and educator who helps people manage and harness their energy so that they can create happy, fulfilling lives. She provides practical strategies to help empaths and highly sensitive people rise above past and present challenges to emerge stronger and more prosperous than ever. Karen utilizes a variety of energy healing modalities such as Reiki and Bach flower remedies to support people in shifting their emotional and energetic patterns and guiding people through challenges and reconnecting them with their soul's mission. She has worked with empaths worldwide to overcome limiting patterns and step into exciting new adventures of their own creation. And I'm guessing we have a few of you guys, like me, an empath sensitive, on the line listening. Welcome, Karen. Great to have you.
Thank you so much, Sheldon, for having me. I can't wait to have this conversation.
Why don't you start off with giving a little more background on what you do, defining your definition of an empath, since, you know, people can have little various degrees of definitions about words, and we can kind of get into it a little bit.
Sure. You know, empaths, in my experience and, you know, in knowing so many empaths and having studied it, is that we are born with an open energy field. And so what this means is that we can sense the energy and feelings and sometimes even the physical experiences of the people around us. And it is very unconscious of a process that happens. And so this energy is absorbed into our bodies, into our energy fields, and we end up experiencing that energy as our own. And it can cause, you know, it can cause a bit of upset until people are aware that that's what's happening. But because energy is invisible to the naked eye, it, you know, sometimes people have moments where they think that they're going crazy or that their version of reality is not okay. And that's where a lot of struggle happens for people who are sensitive energetically. And, you know, a lot of empaths have been labeled as overly sensitive or just, you know, weak. And that's actually not true. I mean, until empaths are opened up to that wellspring of power within themselves, they do experience life as, you know, oh my gosh, I'm hypersensitive. But once they're able to manage their energy and understand it and become aware of the energy outside of themselves as well, they're more empowered to create the life that they want from within themselves and be less at the mercy of who's in the crowd or who's feeling what way, and they're able to experience life more freely.
Mm-hmm. And so what is your definition of stepping into their power or power inside, our power? What do you mean by that? Can you extrapolate on that for us?
Yeah, you know, in terms of empaths, it's essential that they harness their energy instead of have it outside of themselves and have this, you know, open energy field all the time. It's really important for them to gather that within themselves so that they can know what energy is theirs, what energy is not. And when I work with empaths, we look at where the power structures have been in their lives. And I help them to discern where their energy may be off from their own authentic power. And, you know, some of the shifts that might need to happen in order to get to that place. Because what I find with a lot of my clients is their focus is outside of themselves. They are natural supporters. You know, they will lift people up at the detriment of themselves. And so a lot of times it's teaching people how to care for themselves, teaching people how to teach other people about what they need, and actually taking a stand for themselves so that that happens. Does that make sense?
If I'm hearing you correctly, part of, stepping into your power, harnessing your energy would be being able to recognize and meet your needs both inside of yourself and be clear about what your boundaries are and what your needs are in relationship to others?
Absolutely. Because a lot of times those power structures are off and people feel at the mercy of, oh my gosh, this person needs this. So now that means I need to help them. So instead of that, you know, there's a lot of enabling energy that happens a lot of times, and empaths often want to help. You know, we have a heart to help other people. We can sense the energy of other people and automatically know it even before they say it. So that is part of a gift, but we need to create those clear boundaries that keep us in a place of safety and power within ourselves, and also allow the other person to be empowered and to solve their problems and be a real sense of support, not in the way that we're doing anything for them, but that we are more encouraging them.
It reminds me of one of my great mentors. It reminds me of what she said once, which was that she supports people in their strength, not in their weakness. And that's what I know in my own personal life, what, you know, I've done that and I've seen that, but enabling people, buying into like, oh, I'm so sorry, that's so terrible, you know, totally enabling rather than supporting somebody in their place of choice that somehow, you know, hey, look, you know, this is your choice to some degree.
Right. You know, there are a lot of people that say, you know, empaths that I've worked with that say, you know, I'm the person that is just sitting on a bench and some complete stranger comes up and talks to me and tells me like their life story and their problems. And it's just, they're kind of hit with that energy from a complete stranger. And part of that is because we do have such an open energy field. So people automatically feel safe in our presence. But it, you know, part of reclaiming our power is not taking on all of that energy from that person that needs support or needs validation. So it's more kind of being able to chime in and say, you know, I hear you're going through a hard time. You know, what can you do to help the situation today or this week? And kind of, you know, create some language, and it's really giving people ways to communicate, either verbally or non-verbally, where they're able to reclaim their power and not be at the mercy of, oh my gosh, this person's going to dump their emotional energy all over me. So
does it start inside, in your opinion? Would it start caring inside of ourselves? Let's say I'll use myself as an example, and I was that person on the park bench. I do have a very open energy field. People do feel very safe and secure with me. And would it start with me mastering or learning more that pattern of consciousness is what I'll call it, of being over responsible, taking responsibility for their process and really mastering that and saying, you know, this is, you know, I'm not responsible for this person's upset. You know, I can just hold space. And, you know, they have to find their own way through. I can listen, but I don't need to go into any kind of sympathy or any of that business. Would that be a bit what you're talking about?
Yeah. I definitely think that validating that person's experience, and, you know, we are naturally sympathetic. So that's the part of ourselves that we need to kind of draw in a little bit more. So, yes, it is being aware of what's happening, which is in that moment, recognizing that, okay, this person is in need, and then deciding and discerning how to best respond for yourself and for the other person. And so, you know, sometimes somebody needs to take a step back in the moment because, you know, people tend to lean into your energy as they're talking. So sometimes it's a matter of creating space. And sometimes it's just a matter of reframing the situation in a way that that person who is in need can see it through different eyes. And I think as empaths, we have that ability to reframe situations and come from a place of love. And that's what I typically do. I mean, sometimes I'll give somebody a hug. You know, a hug says a thousand things. And, you know, I think a lot of empaths tend to sort of shy away from that initially because they're afraid of connecting to people and picking up, you know, physically picking up that energy.
I was just about to say,
right?
Yeah, I hear that a lot, right. And I was just about
there's
to ask
so
you about
fear.
That. So, yeah. Right.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
so
and they don't, and they're like victimized by it. Like, oh, well, it's, and often I'll come across people that will say, well, it's that, you know, they have no control over it. They're in a victim spot about that they're just, which on some level is true. We are sponges from the scientific viewpoint of energy. We, you know, energy is contagious. Emotions are contagious. Yet there's a lot we have within ourselves as resources to be able to manage that. So how do you coach people in not picking up, not absorbing other people's material?
So part of it, you know, when I look at energy management with my clients is we look at some very basic practices. So, you know, some of it is visualization. Some of it is tactical, where, you know, they are picking up a sage bundle and lighting it up, you know, and smudging the air around them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is placing their hands on their heart and centering themselves in that way. Sometimes it is, you know, any way that you can disrupt that pattern in your brain and in your energy that, oh my gosh, I'm being invaded upon, you know, I'm a victim mm-hmm. of this. Any way that you can empower yourself, because it is different for everyone, that is what's going to help people to feel safe and empowered. And then from that place, they're able to respond to different situations. You know, I started out that way, you know, when I was first awakening as an empath and realizing that there's nothing wrong with me. It's just that energy does stick to me in a certain way. And if I don't clear myself, then I end up with a stomach ache or a headache or, you know, feeling someone else's emotion. And that is the experience that does happen. So it's not that people are making that up. It's just that now I don't deal with that same conversation. Now I can, you know, hug someone without worrying about it. Now I can speak to my clients who are in emotional turmoil and transition without picking that up. So I think as people or empaths evolve in their process and learn some of these practices to fortify themselves, they are much stronger within themselves to handle these types of situations.
Mm-hmm. So is there another little tip you have for the audience? Because it's such a, I feel like that's such a wonderful tool to be able to offer people, Karen, and thank you for doing it.
Of course.
And so you mentioned a couple things, saging and interrupting the pattern of I'm being invaded upon. Any other little practical tools and tips?
Yeah, you know, I use flower essences, which are wonderful for cleansing. They're also wonderful for shifting and transforming the emotions. So I use those myself, and I use them with my clients, and they're available at most of the health food stores like Sprouts or Whole Foods. They have that available. So you know, certain flowers are good for certain emotional states. And one of the common emotional states for empaths is that hesitation to go out into public places. I don't know if you can relate to that at all, Sheldon, or if you're kind of more of an outgoing empath.
I can definitely relate, especially when there's a high level of stimulus involved.
Okay. So there is a particular flower that's called mimulus, and it is wonderful for, you know, people who tend to be very sensitive, oftentimes introverted, and that connects a certain fear with going out, or it's basically a flower that supports people through their fears, but specifically in social situations. So it is one of the ones that works beautifully for empaths who blush a lot, you know, or who can have a tendency to stammer over their words when they're in social situations, the ones that have a hard time connecting with people and having that eye contact. So it really supports people in those types of situations. So I often recommend that, and I also use that in the custom blends that I create.
What's it called again?
It's called Mimulus. It's M-I-M-U-L-U-S.
Mimulus. Okay, great.
Yes, yes.
Mimulus flower essence. Awesome.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful flower that supports a lot of empaths. But of course, there are a total of 38 flowers in the box system. So, you know, different flowers support people through different emotional states. But that's one of the ones that I find really supports empaths. Let's see. Another strategy that I use is just cleansing. I mean, cleansing the chakras and going through, you know, from the root to the crown, and just doing a quick chakra cleanse, which, you know, clears out anything that doesn't belong to you and frees up your energy to just be your own. And, you know, it's a quick process, and it's just going through each of those and spinning out the negative energy or the energy that doesn't belong to you, and then just bringing the light upward and allowing yourself to return to that pillar of light that you are, and that is your power. You know, that's where your power is. It's in your light, and it's in your heart. So when people are able to be clear of energy that isn't theirs and are able to get rid of that and release themselves of that on a regular basis, then they're more able to be connected with themselves. And another thing that I want to share too, along the lines of being in one's power, is that a lot of people tend to act from the space of when they were little. And, you know, because as empaths, we don't just become that through our lives. We are born that way. And so growing up as an empath and someone who is sensitive energetically, we have certain experiences, you know, some of them traumatic and some of them just, you know, disappointments or heartbreaks. But oftentimes it's those types of experiences that we carry with us that end up showing up in our adult lives. And that's typically where I work into with a lot of my clients, because they are still stuck in those patterns that began many, many years ago.
I know, since we've talked in the past, that you've talked about how a lot of sensitives or empaths can maybe more on their unconscious period of their journey operate in a more victim mentality. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, you know, it is that. You know, sometimes I call it the wounded child mode, but it is that part of us that feels that we are powerless and, you know, needs to be in that space for a while until we give ourselves permission to truly feel the sadness, the disappointment, the heartbreak, the trauma of that particular past situation, and then really transform it in a way that empowers us so that we are actually integrating it into our experience and not not denying it, not pretending it's not there, but really saying, hey, you know, this happened to me. You know, everything in my life has happened for me and not against me. And to instead use those experiences as fuel to see how strong we are and to use our energy to actually create what it is that we want. Because if we are in that wounded child mode, we are never going to feel that we're powerful and that we're able to create. So it is in honoring that aspect of who we are and releasing it or integrating it into our whole being that allows us to move forward beyond those injured feelings.
Well said. Gosh, yes, that sounds fantastic. Very uplifting. How has your perception of power changed over the years?
Well, you know, it's changed quite a lot because when I was younger, my sense of power was outside of myself. I mean, I was so used to flexing to fit others' needs and expectations because that was like second nature to me. That's just how I was. And, you know, it's been throughout my life that I've had to learn that, you know, there are other ways to be happy and to find love. I mean, I as a child, I thought that, oh my gosh, I need to meet other people's needs and wants in order to be happy and to be loved. And
right.
Part of that too was, you know, it had to do with the family that I grew up in and how they handled things. And, you know, I think that I was the oddball, you know, and so I often felt powerless in my family and that my voice wasn't heard. So, you know, I had to learn that there's another way of being. And I used to think that, you know, being powerful also meant that, you know, it's a matter of personal will. Like how much of a strong will do I have? How hard am I willing to work at something? And as I've experienced power and sort of played with it and experimented with it throughout the years, I understood the role of divine will in creating what I wanted and this sense of power and actually not creating the sense of power, but accessing that power within. And so just trusting in the divine will versus my own personal will really allows that grace to unfold naturally. So it's not really about control as much as it is about faith and vision. And what is interesting about power, in my experience, is that it is directly connected to my vulnerabilities and my challenges and my fears. I mean, I discovered that if I can love myself through those unsure, those messy moments, just as I would a friend or a family member, that just around the corner, I can have that victory and I can be reminded of the true power that I have within, because it does come from within. And it is in the way that we're able to reframe our history and our experiences that allows us to see the true essence of the power that we have within us.
Wonderful. You know, let's shift gears a little bit here. Let's talk about all the awesome gifts that come with being a sensitive and empath. Because I know it took me a while, too, to see how being so sensitive to energy is a gift and wasn't so trying and difficult for me.
Yeah, you know, sensitivity is... It, you know, we say it's a blessing and a curse, you know, and I feel like it is a challenge until we get to the place where we realize that, oh my gosh, all this time I have been experiencing the gift of sensitivity. I mean, as a child, I was listened to music. You know, I would go to like a symphony, or I'd just hear a chorus or a song on the radio. And I literally would be moved to tears, like as a child. And it is that type of intense joy or connection with something else that is truly a gift. And it is that intense compassion or joy that we can experience without even trying. And it's because we're so open that we are able to experience those types of good, you know, blessings that come our way. And, you know, I recognize it even in my children. I mean, my daughter will see a movie and she'll be crying. And it's just, it's beautiful that, you know, we can have such an open heart and be able to experience love on many different levels, whether it be when we go out in nature, whether it be in talking to a friend and making a very close heart connection, or even, you know, in your everyday life, it's like, I love to eat. Like, I'm a total foodie. And I really enjoy eating my food and looking at the beautiful presentation on the plate and the colors and just all the flavors. So it's that heightened experience and that awareness that comes naturally that I really feel it expands my quality of life in such a profound way. And when we are able to focus on the simplicity and the beauty in that, you know, these really simple pleasures that come to us, it really makes our life worth living, and it puts us in a place of gratitude where we can experience more of that. So, you know, on an everyday, in an everyday practical way, it's the eating, it's putting my toes in the sand and, you know, looking at a sunset and just being in that place of bliss and appreciation and connection to spirit. And then, you know, on another level, in connecting with my clients or connecting with my family and people that I love, I feel that I'm really able to tune in to where they are. I can listen to their voice and really hear the story of what's really happening underneath what they're saying. And it allows people to feel safe with me. You know, just my energy allows people to feel safe with me. And I know that. You know, and so that's a lot of what I bring to the work that I do and really to every person that I come in contact with. And that's really the gift of the empath is being who they are in their purest form of their energy, which is allowing that energy to go in and to go out. You know, instead of just going in, it's giving that out as well and radiating out those beautiful gifts that we embody. I don't know if that's so esoteric, but that's how I'm feeling it that way.
No, it's not. It makes perfect sense to me. And of course, I am a sensitive and an empath as well. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know there's a lot on the line. And, you know, it's funny, while you were talking about that, I thought, you know, there's probably, I often think about myself, like, there's nobody who loves to hug a tree more than me. But then I know that there is, because everybody I talk to loves to hug.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
So, right? Like you, I'm sure. And like so many of you on the line are probably, no, I love hugging trees. And as a sensitive, that's one of the gifts that I've realized, you know, just piggybacking on what you shared, this wonderful sensitivity to energy and nature and just connecting with all of life. And so that is the upside, the gift of sensitivity and empath. And then, of course, that includes people and clients and friends and family and so on and so forth. And so it's great work that you're doing. Thank you so much for helping all of us heal or upgrade ourselves so that we can reside feeling more centered and in our power while serving with our innate gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like that's what needs to happen for people, you know, because until it does, as you know, until it does, it's like we're kind of at the mercy of our experiences or the experiences that are going on around us. And, you know, it is essential for people to learn how to manage their energy and focus on their own power and learn how to use it so that they're happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Use that power. Create what you want.
Yes.
Well, I know you have a free gift to help us do that. It's Embody Your Power video series. Is that correct? And ebook.
Yes, yes. So there are three videos that will kind of walk you through a simple way to start connecting to your inner power and embodying the energy of what you want to create in your life. There is also a workbook, a PDF printable that you're welcome to download and use and you know, get that process started for yourself and really get in touch with what you want to create in your life because it is within you. And until you decide what that is that you want, it's very hard to create that. So it is really giving you the first few steps to start unlocking your power. I hope you enjoy it.
Nice. And yeah, so that's right there in Claim Your Free Gift on the page. It'll bring you over to that free video series on exactly that. And because we're colleagues and we've talked before and we kind of run in the same circle a little bit, I know, because I have the inside scoop, that you are offering this awesome new group program that you're launching. So I certainly would love to highlight that a little bit and have you just talk about that a little bit. I know it's coming up really close to the air date of this interview. So tell us about it's the Integrated Empath Group Program. Is that right?
Yes. Wow. Thank you so much, Sheldon, for your generosity and sharing this program. I'm super excited about it. It is all about how to manage your energy. We start with that. We work into intuition, and then we go into manifesting results in your life. And it is all about stepping into your authentic power. And I'm really excited about this program. It's a 9-month program where you will be supported not only by me, but by a small group of fellow empaths who are going through the same process. So that is available to you. You know, you can get in touch with me through my website, and I'd be happy to talk with you about it if this sounds like something you'd be interested in.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here. We're going to wrap this up. We're just about at time, and I know you have another appointment as well. So do you have any last words for our audience before we do?
Yeah, you know, I want to thank you, Sheldon, for including me in this wonderful series that's serving so, so many people. And then, you know, just a quick message to our listeners is that, you know, your sensitivity or your history, what you've been through in your past, is not an excuse for putting off your dreams and the life that you deserve. And when you learn how to manage your energy and heal some of the core wounds in your life and let go of that hurt from 5, 10, 20 years ago, you are then free to lead your life from your power center, your heart, and really design the life that you will love to wake up to every day. So I just want to remind you of that. No matter what you've been through, you have it within you to create the life you want.
Oh, thank you for that reminder. That's so true. And I love to be reminded of that personally. We need reminders. I need reminders.
No excuses.
Thanks, Karen. And thank you, everybody, for being here with us today on another session of Soul Speak. So grateful to be a part of this journey with everybody. And we will talk and get together in the next session. So please tune in. Thank you, and we'll see you soon. Bye, everybody. Bye, Karen.
Bye. Thanks so much.